Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. We now turn to the book of Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. Let us hear the word of our Lord. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful of your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Blessed be the word of our Lord.
Hard to wait for whether you're young or older in that too. Let us pray. Lord, as we begin this Advent season, a time of waiting and a time of hope, and may these few moments together remind us of that hope that is provided through Jesus. Not only in the baby that was born in Bethlehem centuries ago, but also his presence with us now and his coming again someday. In his name we ask and pray. Amen. Well, there's only, I think, 27 days left till Christmas. And I'm not really into the shopping and the waiting. And I saw those Advent calendars. That's nice. I, in the past, have had a tendency of kind of opening up the other ones and not waiting each day for those. But the word Advent really means coming and arrival. And Wendy, that's an amazing statistic, you know, about waiting that long. You know, for if you're 7 years old, 3 years, waiting in the doctor's office, and the list goes on at the airport. You know, waiting for graduation, you know, waiting for a lot of different things. But waiting is hard, and anticipating, especially when that's something that we're anticipating and wanting to happen. Did you realize the word adventure also appears in the word Advent? You know, we're on an adventure. Do you kind of see life as a journey, an adventure, or is it just kind of, oh, here we go again? Get out the Christmas decorations. But think about that. Think about that journey. Think about the biblical characters. Think about Mary's visit to her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant. Think about Joseph and Mary, who were engaged, and making that long trip to Bethlehem. And then soon after the birth, that trip to Egypt. That journey to Egypt reminds me of a story of a Sunday school children who were asked their teacher to draw one of the Christmas stories. One of the children drew the wise men. Another drew an airplane with four figures. When asked who that might be, the child said, "That's the flight into Egypt." The teacher asked, "Well, there's three figures in the back of the plane. Who are they?" "Well, that's baby Jesus and his parents, Mary and Joseph." Then the teacher asked, "Well, who's that up front?" To which the child replied, "Oh, that's only Pontius, the pilot." Okay, all right. Moving ahead, but Pontius the pilot. But think about that. This past week, I was on vacation and got three phone calls to do funerals. And people associated with First Reformed Church, Pompton Plains. And one was for a mother of a dear friend who had passed away. And often at funeral services, and I've read this during Advent too, I read from a friend of mine, Dr. Herman Ritter, who was a Reformed Church pastor, minister, seminary professor, as well as president. And he talks about the journeys that we take. And I was reminded this morning too in the class on Simplify, you know, there's that external journey, but there's also the internal journey that we take. And he wrote about this. He said, "We're on two journeys. Most of our planning and fussing has to do with getting someplace, the outward journey. So too, we are on a journey, an outward one, but also an inner one. Like the wise men of the Bible account, they had a long physical journey there and back. Bethlehem is not the end of the journey, but only the beginning. Not home, but the place through which we must pass, if ever we are to reach home at last." You know, I like that because sometimes I'm stopping at Bethlehem. Bethlehem is not the end of the journey, but only the beginning. Not home, but the place through which we must pass, if ever we are to reach home at last. You know, think of Advent. Think about this Advent, the journey that you're on and I'm on. There'll be good times. There'll be some tough times. There'll be a lot of milestones, perhaps, that we're celebrating along the way and remembering. Be times of losses. But vitally important to consider is that internal landscape of your life as well as my life. Journeys. Think about the people of the Bible, multitudes of others through history, and you and I. But looking at the two scriptures that Henry read this morning, we start off with Jeremiah from the prophet. And he talks about a coming Messiah that would bring righteousness. And he says the first coming was to happen, and that promised one would set up a reign initially. And as Christians, we believe that was Jesus Christ who did that some centuries later. Then he talks about justice in the whole earth, Jesus Christ and his return. And Jesus is the righteous branch sprouting from King David. And then we have from Luke's gospel account, and we hear, I think, some troubling words. It talks about the end times. And earlier on in that chapter 21 talks about different things, different signs and wonders that are going to be happening. But signs in the sun and the moon and the stars on earth, distress, persecutions, natural disasters. But then it doesn't stop there. Jesus says your redemption is near. It's close at hand. And that total message is not of doom and gloom, but of redemption and of hope. And Jesus looks up to the sky and sees storms out ahead and strange signs. But he says, that's part of the coming of the second coming. On one hand, destruction, but on the other hand, redemption. What about hope? You know, that's a candle that Jeff and Janet lit this morning. And it wasn't too long ago that you were up here in the chancel, right, Jeff and Janet? For your wedding, and that 1 Corinthians 13 chapter was read. And now these three remain, faith, what is it? Come on, I'm asking, come on, people. Hope and love, and the greatest of these is love. But hope is right there in the middle, hope. And that's what we start off on this first Sunday in Advent. How would you define hope? Expectancy, a longing for, a confident trust in someone or something to happen? The truth of hope, it's one of those lasting characteristics which continues when most other things go by the wayside. What we see in the Gospel of Luke's passage this morning is what's called the apocalyptic style of writing, which talks about the end times. And it's rather strange and unsettling terms. But think about the world that we live, as well as what happened over the centuries since the birth of Jesus here on earth. You know, earthquakes, you know, tsunamis, natural disasters of various types, the terrorism that's happening today, whether in Paris or the shootings that are occurring in Colorado, things that really trouble us indeed. Dr. William Woolamon, church leader and clergy and author, former chaplain at Duke University, said, "We live in apocalyptic times in which strange images haunt our consciousness, images of endings and destruction and death. Yet Advent testimony is not to be seen in negative terms only. Things are coming to an end so that other things might begin anew. The gathering storm will ultimately have good effects. With the dismantling of the old world comes the birth of a new world. God is at work in history to bring all things to God's loving purposes. There's an undeniable agony in the signs of the time, yet to those who have faith in a loving and resourceful God, there is hope." So we're gathered here, hope. There's other candles, there's other realities, but to hope in God, to affirm the Lord's love and grace, and claiming his promises now and eternally, not only in the past, in the present, but also looking to the future. But it's difficult at times to have hope. I know for myself and other people that I come into contact with, when the world around us as well as internally seems to be crumbling. Rushing around, trying to get into the season and forgetting really the reason of the season that we're celebrating and remembering. There's a song, "Is That All There Is?" Does anybody remember that? I started leasing a car, and so I had it for 3 months, and so I was on the 60s channel. It probably ages me a little bit. And the song, "Is That All There Is?" Peggy Lee made that famous. Does anybody remember that? Okay, all right. It's really a downer of a song in that, so it's really from a pessimistic attitude, and the lyrics of the song are written from the viewpoint of a person who's disillusioned with her life and the events. The lyrics tell of witnessing her family's house on fire when she was a little girl, then seeing the circus, and then falling in love for the first time. However, after each of the recitals of the happenings, she expresses disappointment in the experience. She suggests that if that's all there is, my friend, then let's keep dancing and break out the booze and have a ball, if that's all there is. But surely there's more than life than that. Sometimes it seems that hope is just a glimmer, and sometimes that light of hope seems out of reach and darkened. But preparing, waiting, wondering. It's not only remembering and reflecting on the birth of Christ Jesus in Bethlehem, but it's also kind of thinking about his presence that's with you and I and multitudes of others today. Dr. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German Lutheran pastor and theologian, who was in prison and then executed during World War II for his involvement in trying to overthrow Adolf Hitler, said in one of his writings, "The Coming of Jesus into Our Midst," he says that God isn't just an adorable, meek baby in a manger. We are also waiting in anticipation for the time when God comes to earth again to reign in peace and righteousness. But think about that, God with us, Emmanuel. You know, think about that for a moment. You know, and I'd really encourage you, those few questions that we were reflecting on right as a prelude, you know, think about that as we begin this Advent season. In the New Testament, Jesus refers to himself as the Good Shepherd who knows his sheep. He knows our inner strengths as well as our weaknesses. He knows our virtues as well as our sins and our problems. And he's one that cares for us. And that Jesus provides that hope. He provides that peace. Rick Warren, pastor and founder of Saddlebrook Church in Southern California, has authored a number of books. The purpose-driven life, and also the purpose of Christmas. And I came across that book just recently. A friend from the Finder and Reformed Church, where I had served right before I came here to Abundant Life, for Christmas, she gave me that book. And Betty had really experienced a lot of different problems and challenges in her life. Physical problems, and she was a teacher. She also supervised teachers. She was really a sharp lady. And she had a renewal of her faith, and she started coming to the church. And it was really a privilege to get to know her and her faith journey. But in Warren's book, he says, regardless of your background, religion, problems, or circumstances, Christmas really is the best news you could get. Beneath all the visible signs and sounds of Christmas are some simple but rather profound truths that can transform your life for the better here on earth and forever in eternity. God's Christmas gift to you has three qualities that make it unique. First, it's the most expensive gift you'll ever receive. It's priceless. Jesus paid for it by his life. Second, it's the only gift you'll ever receive that will last forever. And finally, it's an extremely practical gift, once you'll use it every day for the rest of your life. Approximately 6 centuries before the birth of Jesus Christ, we hear from another prophet, that of Isaiah, saying, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Prepare the way of the Lord." You know, get that clutter out of your life. The clutter out externally, but also internally. Get ready, be watchful. Set your hearts and minds on the Lord. Listen closely. Trust and obey. Did you notice that Lent and Advent are similar? We start off with that John the Baptist kind of prepare the way for the Lord and trust him more deeply and profoundly. Came across this piece, Jesus is better than Santa. And some of you have been in our home, and as you enter in, just like a lot of other families, there's a lot of pictures all around, right? Oh, come on, people, I know you're there, come on, right? You're kind of, I don't know. Right, there's pictures all around. Family, friends, different celebrations, different things that happen. And I have one of me and Santa Claus about 30 years ago. Well, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, it was 60 years ago, believe it or not. I was about 3 years old. And I looked at that picture closely. I don't remember it. I almost thought I had like a dollar bill in my hand. I don't know if I was trying to pay off Santa or what, but I'm on Santa's lap, and I have suspenders like Santa, and it's black and white, and I'm looking really intently at Santa, and I don't know what I asked for Christmas. But there's this piece that I'd like to read. It's Jesus is better than Santa. Don't want you guys to sleep in that. So it's a time of waiting, but you got to be alert in that too. Santa lives at the North Pole. Jesus is everywhere. Santa rides a sleigh. Jesus rides on the wind and walks on the water. Santa comes but once a year. Jesus is ever present. Santa comes down the chimney uninvited. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Santa makes you stand in line to see him. Right? Jesus is close as to mention just his name. Santa lets you sit on his lap. Jesus lets you rest in his arms. Santa asks little boy, little girl, what is your name? Jesus knew our names before we even did. Santa has a belly like a bowl full of jelly. Jesus has a heart full of love. Santa offers ho, ho, ho. Jesus offers health, help, and hope. Santa says, you better not cry. And Jesus says, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. Santa's little helpers make toys. Jesus makes new lives, mends hearts, repairs broken homes. Santa may make you chuckle. Jesus gives you joy. Santa puts gifts under your tree. But Jesus became our gift and died on the tree. There's really no comparison. Jesus is truly the reason for the season. So we're on this journey. You, me, multitudes of others this morning. Reminded of God's presence and care. for our life. How will this Advent journey be for you and for me? You know, think about that. You know, sometimes, I'll just say for the Larkin family, we drag out all these decorations, you know, and, you know, there's some meaning that's attached to them. But then kind of get lost in, you know, what is really the reason that we're here? You know, that God has given us life. You know, we live in a very troubled world, and sometimes our lives are very troubled, too. You know, and how can that peace that Jesus gives, how can the Prince of Peace provide that resource that you and I need and the world needs in a greater way? So, we're on that journey. We leave this place in just a few minutes. You know, remember that the Lord is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. And may this Advent and Christmas season be one of deepening sense of hope at God at work in your life and in the world about through Jesus Christ, in the good times and in the tough times and those in between. As I mentioned too, with those three funerals, and especially the one of the dear friend whose mother died, George, and his mother, Sally, and that really hit home more, you know, and here we are right before Thanksgiving, and you know, it was really a very meaningful time to hear about her life through her children and through her grandchildren, and I got to know Sally, too, and as I'm standing there at the funeral parlor and then at the cemetery and reminded of that hope that Jesus gives us and provides for us, even in the tough times, even in those times that tears are falling from our face, that Jesus is there, that loves us and calls us to not only a fuller life here, but also an abundant life and the life ahead, eternal life. Let us pray. As the kids this morning and the children's message, Lord, it's difficult to wait. I know for myself and maybe for many of us, to really wait for your presence. And it's not only the birth of Jesus, celebrating that again, but also the reality of your presence with us each and every day, to strengthen us, to call us to a greater life, to use us, Lord, to be peacemakers, to love others, even our enemies. And that's a tall task for any of us, and it's something that we can't do without your power and your spirit. And then Jesus returning someday, that hope of heaven. But in the meantime, Lord, here we are on planet Earth, and may this Advent season be one of deepening faith in you and trust. Amen. If you're able, please stand for our affirmation of faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Saying together in one accord, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From then shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.